You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com. New from Moultrie Mobile, the Feed Hub offers first-of-its-kind cellular connection and control for nearly any spin cast feeder on the market. When used with the Moultrie Mobile app, you can monitor feed and battery levels, run feeders on demand, receive alerts when feeders are clogged, and remotely adjust feeding times. The Feed Hub is ideal for anyone who maintains feeders. Remove the guesswork and save time by planning feeder maintenance before you drive to your hunting property. For more information, visit MoultrieMobile.com.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year... Part of the past, the celebrations forgotten, the history,
Vegas Golden Knights.
History, we're back to a blank slate, clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Welcome to another episode of Uncensored by Go Wild, brought to you by GunBroker.com. Like we've been saying for the last couple months, you're kind of getting on the tail end of turkey season, but if you're out of shells or you need a new choke, maybe you stuck your gun in the mud, go load up for the rest of the season.
Get ready for that summer trap and sporting clay shooting and stuff like that.
There you go.
To, you know,
load up on your, what are they called? White birds?
Oh, like you talking like the clays or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure you could get those there.
Dude, I have those things and like littered in different corners of my shed where every time I go, I'm like, I don't think I have any. I buy a box and now I have like surplus of clays.
Do you shoot clays?
Like once a year.
It's like
Do you shoot them at the farm? Do you have your own thrower?
Mm-hmm.
It's a fun thing to do. And then every time I go do it, I'm like, I need to do this more often. And then I don't do it again for over a year.
Yeah. It's fun. I'm not good at it. I'd probably be a horrible duck hunter. But, yeah, it's fun to just go out and joke around with buddies, shoot golf balls. Those are fun, too. Throw golf balls up.
It's like golfing with guns.
It is. Shooting. Sort of. Bad at all of it. So, pretty similar. Same with archery. Speaking of archery, the Total Archery Challenge is coming to the hood. August.
Not to me, but to
mid in August.
The neighborhood.
Yeah, not
not to Dan Hood.
Nobody cares about your last name.
No.
It's coming over to the farm in New Albany, which some of you listening, if you were at Send It Slam, that's where the archery 3D course was when we did that. And so they're gonna host TAC this year. I know Braden's going to go. I think Phil's going to be there for a day. I'm going to sign up for a day.
You said it's in August?
Saturday. Yeah.
Do you know when?
Teens.
Okay.
I want to say like 18, something maybe.
Because SCI is also doing an event at the farm one weekend in August, and BHA is playing a pretty big role in that. So.
Is it the same weekend?
That seems like a lot to be doing in one weekend.
Well, it's going to be whichever day is the hottest day of the year.
Probably.
Will be the day of the tech.
Being out there in August. The good thing is, I will say, neither of you all were out there for Senate Slam.
No, we were at the concert deal.
So, day of it was rainy. It was kind of cool. It wasn't a deal. But when we set it up the day before, it was hot. Mm-hmm. But you're back in the woods, and it's so shaded, and it's actually pretty mild and nice.
Yeah, we need to coordinate, so we all sign up same day.
Saturday.
Saturday.
We need to go to the archery range out of Taylorsville, because they have like a little like through-the-woods hike range deal that's kind of 3D-ish to get ready, warmed up for
this. I didn't even know that.
Yep.
I need to get my bow set up. It's still sitting all in pieces in my office.
Yep, they have that there, and yeah. It's another BHA thing that I'm looking at, is maybe doing some maintenance type stuff out there.
But that'd be cool.
Yeah.
The other one in town is that Fern Creek Sportsman's Club that's not too far from our house.
You have to be a member or a guest of a member to get in there, though, I'm pretty sure.
I think when they do the 3D shoots, it's open to the public.
Okay, yeah, so they do, like, public event, like, 3D shoots, but, like, you can't go out there just to shoot.
Just, like, on a random day,
Yeah.
I want to say Sundays, but dude, there's tons of opportunity. And that season, that summer that Braden and I were getting ready to go to TAC and we were shooting all the time and we still lost a ton of arrows, but I felt more confident in my shot than I ever have shooting a bow before. It's a ton of fun too. I mean, we were talking about golf and it kind of made me think about it because it is like that. You know, you're walking to the next shot with everybody, you're kind of talking and then you're quiet while people are shooting and then you laugh because somebody blew up an arrow on a tree and it's just a good time. And
yeah, that's what's around the corner. I mean, we're kind of as sportsmen reaching that like kind of lull summer. I mean, there's always fishing to be done and that's always fun, but I mean, that's really about it.
Yeah.
So this is the time when, you know, lots of archery shooting, clay shooting, stuff like that. Just keeping your skills sharp.
And the TAC events are fun because there's, you know, the whole expo area where the brands come and have stuff set up, you know, Tethered and Timber Ninja has gone before and Bear, you can go and shoot bows, try stuff out. So that's fun. You obviously get to see buddies from the industry and stuff. And then they have concerts and kind of a festival type thing going on too. So highly recommend it. If you're within a few hours drive or you want to come down and stay, Louisville is a great city for food and drink. And that's 20 minutes from where this is going down. I don't know what they're doing as far as like camping and stuff on site there. I haven't looked, but the casino's down the road. There's plenty, you know, places to stay close by and you'll get to see some of us, which it's worth the money. Worth the price of admission.
Of course.
All right, so you are literally probably still have some ticks crawling on you. How was the hunt today with Mr. Campbell?
It was good. It was I was going to hunt today regardless. And I was actually staying the night last night in Brandenburg and me and Olivia went out to go get some ice cream and I get a phone call from Paul Campbell at like 7 o'clock and he's like, "Hey dude, I'm around Cincinnati right now, driving down. I had some plans change on me as I was like on the road. You want to hunt tomorrow?" I'm like, "Yeah." I said, "I'm going out to our place out there, in Meade County." And he's hunted it before with me 2 years ago. I was like, "That's where I'm going to be." He's like, "I'll see you there." So I met him in the Valero parking lot this morning and we drove the rest of the way there. And, you know, we got into the property, get out of the trucks, looking on Onyx. He's like, "Where are some spots that you, like, know birds are roosting?" I was like, "Dude, just pick a spot on the map. Like, just throw a dart. Like, that's just the nature of this property. It's a big property. It's not got a lot of hunting pressure. It's about half pasture, half wooded. It's been logged the last couple of years, and there's still active logging going on out there. So that's been, like, a whole new fun variable I've been dealing with for a while. But I mean, it's a good spot. I was like, "Dude, they're literally anywhere. You hunted here 2 years ago. You kind of have a feel for how things are going." And we kind of talked about a game plan and we both agreed like, "Okay, let's just kind of get to a high spot around some fields, wait for the sun to start coming up," because what they're doing a lot this year, this was the same story I was getting when I was in Tennessee last weekend hunting also from guys down there. They're gobbling really heavy on the limb this year. The second they hit the ground, they're
quiet.
Dead quiet.
That's what I've been saying.
That happened last year too.
I could sit here and hypothesize all afternoon, but I won't. So that was the deal. We were like, "Let's just find a high point kind of around a field edge, listen, and we'll go from there." So we went, set up on the first spot, and so Paul's really good with his hoot owl call. I usually use like a crow call for a locator, and it just, in my opinion, it doesn't work as well. A crow versus a hoot owl, but I just need to spend more time trying to get good at the hoot owl. So anyways, he hits his hoot owl, not 100 yards, right on the limb, just pow. And we're like, "All right, let's go right now, sit down." So I had one decoy with me and I just threw it out. We were kind of up in the woods a little bit on a two-track skidder road where they used for logging equipment, and this spot was just logged this last fall. So like it's still relatively new cut, pretty open. Everything's like, the forest floor hasn't had time to grow up yet here. So I just threw this one decoy down real quick and we got set up ready to go. And that bird gobbled at almost everything. Crows flying over, he was gobbling. Real hoot owls, he was gobbling. What else? I mean, you think there was a woodpecker, he was gobbling at that.
It's just one bird. Just,
well, so for a little bit, we started hearing a second bird a little further back from him. And we think that at one point that bird that was further back kind of turned and was looking more our way on the limb, because at one point we thought they were roosted, like, very close together. But then right at that, like, you know, kind of dusky light, whatever, we hear some fly down cackles, and we see seven hens hit the field. And then we see him come down right behind them. And so we sat there and we called at him for a little bit. But you don't want to call too much, especially in that scenario. And he's out there in the field just fanning for these hens. And
did Paul try to call to the hens?
So we discussed that. And I even said, I was like, if we can get one of those hens pissed off, like, that'll bring them all here. And then, of course, the one that we get pissed off was the one that was in the woods right to our right, that we had no idea was there. Up in the logging area, the area that just been logged, and she comes up over the hill, sees our decoy, we're pretty sure, because there's no way she could have saw us where we were. She starts clucking, going crazy. She flies down to the decoy, like, not happy, and then kind of realizes, like, this doesn't seem right, so she turns and left. And then he's out in the field. He's gobbling a little bit now that he's on the ground, but, I mean, he's got seven hens right in front of him. Like, he doesn't need to do much. And he's just watching them. We had another gobbler crack off behind us, not super close. I mean, he was a couple hundred yards away. And he, I don't know, we heard him back there a little bit, but then nothing. But anyways, these birds, these seven hens and the gobbler, eventually just ended up working away. So we're like, all right, whatever. So we decide we're going to go up this two track into the woods, and then we're going to hook around and we're going to try to come down on top of them. So we get up there, we cut through the woods, we actually come out really close to the property line, and there's an old logging road from like the 70s when that place was logged last. There's an old logging road up there. When we got out on that logging road, we hit another locator, and we had two birds gobble up above us, probably 200 yards at tops.
On the other property?
No, so one was probably on the other property, and the other one, I mean, they were literally straddling the property line. Mm-hmm. So we went up this logging road, so now we've got diverted from our original plan, because we're like, well, those birds are right there, and they're gobbling, and it's 8 o'clock in the morning at this point, 8:30. So we go up the logging road a little bit, get set up there. I had, like, the most comfortable spot, which you never find in turkey hunting, but I found this spot right, like, in kind of a ditch next to the logging road where you're already looking uphill, and then I'm, like, leaning up against a tree that's growing, like, out and down, so to speak. So I just had, like, this recliner, basically, and I'm just laid back on this tree. And so we talked with that bird for a little bit, but then we could tell that they crested the top of the hill and went away from us because we were working uphill. We're like, all right, let's go chase those birds. And it was funny. Paul was like, you want to go? And I was like, I'm pretty comfortable right here. He's like, well, he's comfortable up there. I was like, that's a good point. I guess we got to go after him. So got up. And then after that, it was just a lot of foot travel, a lot of locating. And at that point, it was morning time, and they'd shut down. No gobbling whatsoever. We eventually cut down into a field, and we're walking this field, glassed up a hen, watched her for a little while, moved on, come up over a hill, see another hen. So we drop real quick, hit the deck, and we're kind of just sitting there, just kind of joking, laughing, having a good time looking at this hen through the binocular. She's 500 yards away on this whole other side of the field. Out of nowhere, I take my binoculars down. Out of nowhere, this big old tom, just from where she is, comes running out of the woods right after her. I could see this beard swinging from 500 yards away without even binoculars. And we're both like, oh, God. And he's out in the field chasing her. And we're like, how are we going to make a move on them? So we drop down, loop around, get up into the woods, follow these woods all the way up to now we're, like, level with them, but probably still 400 yards away from where we last saw them. We'd lost them at that point, too. And that was basically all she wrote. Like, we never saw them again. We called at them, located, nothing. Did a little bit more hiking after that.
But at least you're seeing turkey.
Yeah, we're seeing turkey, but, I mean, they're so finicky, man, because when they're not telling you where they are. But, I mean, we put quite a few miles on out there today. Found some spots where, like, it's obvious they're dusting there. So got some dust bowls where I can just go sit over if I get real desperate or bored, however you want to look at it. But, yeah, after that, it was about lunchtime. He had to hit the road to head down to Western Kentucky area, and I drove in here, and here we are.
How'd your drunkle buddy do?
He was great.
Did he
did he go today?
No, he left. He's just before here opening
weekend.
Yeah,
I'm guessing he didn't kill a bird.
No, he did not.
I bet he killed some bush.
Coors. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's that.
Well, I'm going to North Carolina. You're going to North Carolina this weekend, and then I might try to do one more weekend of turkey hunting because I think we only have one more weekend after that.
Yeah, we close May 5th.
This weekend and then next weekend.
Yeah, we close the day after Derby or whatever. That's Sunday.
Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah, so I'll probably try next weekend. Are you going to get out at all this season?
Yeah, I'll get out. I was talking to Derek about this. Like, for some reason, turkey hunting always takes a backseat to life and whatever. Kids are both in soccer right now. They've got Saturday morning soccer games and, trying to get three kids out of the house for a soccer game. It's not feasible for me to say, okay, I'll hunt until 8:30 if there's a 9 o'clock soccer game. So it's a little tougher. Some of it comes down to just commitment to it. Cause if I really wanted to make it work, then I'd figure it out. But yeah, I'll get out once. Paul said he might swing back through towards the end of our season and I might get him out the farm.
He is on a tear right now, man. He killed a bird in Texas. He's killed a bird in Ohio. He's hunting here today with me. He might come back to Kentucky. He's got a couple more hunts while he's here over the next, like, day or two, I think. He's got a Michigan tag in his pocket. He's got an Indiana tag in his pocket. I think he's got a trip planned to go up to, like, New York, Vermont area. He is
getting after it.
He's being Paul, yeah.
Yeah.
When's their walleye trip? June?
End of May, Memorial Day weekend. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'll be fun too. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah,
it's always a good relaxing trip for all of us, I think.
Yeah.
Just sit back, catch some fish, fill the freezer.
I think we've got our last fillet that we're about to cook up from our last year.
Well, I talked to Braden this weekend. He said they still have some too. I'm like, dude, what are you doing?
I don't have much.
Well, you're feeding a family. It's just me and Amanda.
Well, yeah, and I also cooked mine that first.
Yeah, all the walleye we ate when we were there. Well, yeah, you had like a fish fry deal, didn't you? But we fried up quite a bit also while we were there.
Yeah, we probably fried up 4 pounds of it while we were there.
Was that just like, I can't even remember how it all shaked out. Was that
it
just
was
like,
lunch right after we went.
Yeah, but I'm saying like, was that just like, did we just skim that off the top before we even divvied it up?
No, it was someone's.
Or was it someone's it fish?
Yeah, I feel like somebody that was there donated it to the cause.
Sounds right.
Andrew or something.
Sounds right.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just spent $100 on fishing stuff from out of Go Wild's fishing stand.
I saw
stand.
That.
Still going on. It's getting a little slim pickings. A lot of good stuff's been taken, but there's still some good deals to be had.
Yeah, when you say good stuff, you mean like the big... It's more the rods, the reels.
There's still a bunch of lures, the you know, traditional colorways of the lures, some of the traditional colors are gone, and you're left with some of the more esoteric colors.
There's a ton of power bait down there, for sure.
There's a ton of power bait.
I
bought some power bait, and that was the hardest one to choose, the color way. I guess the power bait, the general worm. Where it has the different color on the tail. Mm-hmm. And it's like, do you go for something natural or do you go for like the neon green tail or I don't know.
Black, blue, green.
I think I did black worm with a red tail section.
The ox blood.
Yeah.
That's the name of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still need to make sure I got everything for this Florida trip. I haven't even thought about this North Carolina trip that I leave for in 2 days.
I know, I need to get you flies.
Yeah, I was about to say, I need to get some flies from you at some point.
I'll be home late this evening after soccer, but...
Yeah, because that's a old fly fishing trip right there, so...
Well, I mean, I don't... If the weather forecast there is what it's supposed to be here, it should be perfect.
Yeah, I was looking at it right before I hit the road for here, actually, from the farm. I was looking, and it's like... I think some nights get into the mid-40s. Days are going to be like high 60s, maybe low 70s at most. They are talking Friday, I think some morning rain, but after that, the rest of the day is fine. So it's looking like it's going to be, knock on wood, about perfect.
Yeah. And the good thing is with that area, and it's trout, so you don't have to be on the water at the butt crack of dawn. Mm-hmm. And with that one spot where you're going to hike in a little bit, mm-hmm. or whatever, you know, you can do that in the morning and then let it warm up some. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It tends to be better non 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yep. No, it'll be a good time. I'm excited for it. I just haven't, it hit me when I was leaving Meade County this around noon or whatever today. I was like, oh, wow, I leave for that in like 2 days. And I haven't done a single thing to get ready for it.
Yeah. And now when you're going to North Carolina with your dad, are you going to fish, like, your dad's going to go every time, or is it going to be dad sitting back at the house and you're going?
How are you gonna, I mean, I think it depends on how active the fish are, because I shared that one lake with you, that Duke Energy Lake that's in the area, and, you know, we might, if their, you know, private neighborhood pond is dead, we might try going somewhere else, but if the bite's on, we might be fishing every day. He has, their neighborhood has a little lodge house on the lake with a boat ramp or a boat kayak storage boat area underneath, and you can rent a spot. So his kayak's always right there at the edge of the lake. And then I'm going to have mine strapped to the roof. I hope it doesn't fly off in the middle of the drive going down the
mountains of Tennessee,
the mountains of Virginia, right before you hit the border of North Carolina. It's like
you go like through that. Virginia,
yeah,
to where they are,
because they're outside of Winston-Salem, which is kind of the northern.
You take like 64 through West Virginia and then Virginia, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then take 71 mm-hmm. south, and coming 71 south, going from Virginia into North Carolina, it's just like you're in Virginia. And you look to the left, and you can see Pilot Mountain off in the distance. You're that high up. It's like, oh, I can see halfway into North Carolina from here. That's how high up you are. But no, that'll be good.
So I don't know. I haven't fished a bunch here to really know. At the pond, I haven't seen beds yet. I talked to a guy that fishes tournaments, and he caught one fish last week, I think, that – he could tell the fins were torn up and it was on the bed. I talked to my uncle yesterday, and they have a cabin at this private spring fed lake in southern Indiana, which is where I caught that big bass. Mm-hmm. And he said that they're on the beds up there. So it's, I don't like,
it sounds just like the turkey season.
It just is out of whack.
My dad said he was out on the lake a week or two ago and he caught probably 12 fish. None of them were that big, but
if you're probably getting the male, that's a female. So yeah. If you're getting the males and they're up around beds and really active and pissed off, and you catch a bunch of those 14 inch.
Sounds just like how the turkey are. I feel like, I don't know. I was talking with Paul about this, but I said, I feel like every year going into spring, and then like when spring hits with turkey season and fishing and everything like that, like every year for the last handful of years, it's just gotten weirder and weirder. As far as like being able to pattern things,
yeah,
being like, well, this should be happening right now, but it's not, because like a lot of the hens we're seeing out at our place are indicating that they are not on nest yet.
Really?
And you'll see some come out later in the morning and feed, and you're like, yeah, they're probably on nest. But we had 7 hens this morning grouped up together still that we watched come off the roost. Those birds aren't on nest.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's been, and you've been hearing you talk about what the fish are doing, and I've been kind of seeing the same thing. I haven't been out fishing near as much as you, but I've been doing some. We got in some crappie one evening in Tennessee over the weekend, and we were pulling them out, and their tails were all beat up and stuff. I imagine it's probably the same deal with them, but yeah, I could be wrong.
That's usually
earlier
in April.
That's kind of what I'm getting at, is like if they're looking like they're just now spawning.
Yeah. Everything's later.
And that's in Tennessee. Now, granted, we're at elevation there. Like, yeah. Everything there kind of happens 2 weeks later than the rest of the state.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see what it – because that lake you're fishing, Dan, is it pretty clear? I mean, I know it's a newer lake, so sometimes they're muddied up for a little while, but has your dad said if it's very clear?
No, he hasn't said anything. Every time I've been there, it's been pretty murky. You know, Mercury. they've flooded a valley, and so it's just all, you know, tree debris. You know, if you tried to step into the water, you would sink 2 foot in. So it would take, I mean, I think their neighborhood's only like 10 or 15 years old.
Well, so, man, if you can find some like rocky spots, like gravelly spots, anything like that.
I don't think they put any of that in there. So I think it's just all kind of natural muddy. Now, I do think there are a lot of down limbs and stuff and overhanging limbs, obviously, but no running water really to speak of. So no flow, no docks on this lake. So it'll be interesting, but you know, I'm going down there to put a fish finder on my dad's boat. I'll bring my fish finder. So hopefully it'll give us some intel.
That's the whole reason you're going to North Carolina?
And to see my family, you know. I haven't seen them since Christmas. I try to get out there once or twice a year, every year. So.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That'll be good.
Yeah. I think the moral of the story for myself is I need to get some more time on the water, more time in the Turkey Woods, time at all in the Turkey Woods. But, you know, this is the prime time for all of that stuff. So it's a good time for both of y'all to be going. I'm kind of jealous of your trips this weekend.
Yeah, no, I'm excited for North Carolina. This is, and we, the three of us in Braden went, you know, last summer to North Carolina. And that was fun for smallmouth and stuff like that. But I love catching smallmouth, but I'm just excited to get on some trout. I haven't caught trout. I couldn't tell you the last time I went trout fishing.
Well, honestly. you're about to get an education on Deep Creek.
Yeah, like it's gonna, that's what you told me.
It's going to test your patience because you're going to be able to see fish, and obviously they can see you.
I sent you guys a YouTube video I watched last night. That's hilarious, but that's besides the point.
Is it about fishing?
It is about fishing.
Okay.
I was in a similar situation a number of years ago. We were in Cherokee National Forest on the Tennessee side, and I was throwing everything at fish I could see. And they were just like, go away, dude.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
Clear water. They get a decent amount of pressure. Mm-hmm. They've seen a lot of flies. But when you catch one, it is so rewarding. Mm-hmm. You can be like, I conquered this thing.
Yeah.
So I hope the weather's good and y'all catch some fish.
I do too.
Obviously, some of the spots I sent you, I know there's good populations. So. Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, the good thing about this trip with it being like the, I keep saying, you know, bachelor party, because it's not really. We're going to fish and hang out, but we are just going to get away and hang out
y'all
for a while.
Going out there to fish.
I can't wait to hear your take on Bryson City.
Yeah.
I mean, I told you we went down there this fall and absolutely fell in love with it.
Yeah.
'Cause it's small. There's a couple breweries there. There's, you know, going expecting a ton of great restaurants and
scene, I mean, that's why we went. 'Cause awesome. We want to go catch trout on our fly rods and get some craft beer. And that's about it. Maybe if we're lucky, see a bear.
I haven't seen any bear.
I know they're out there.
But they're out there.
Yeah.
Jason will tell you he's got tons of bears in North Carolina.
So. Yeah. He when we met up with him in August, he was like, you want to go? Tell me.
Did you see that video? I think it was Yellowstone of the tourists pulling the bear cubs out of the tree.
Oh, no.
They're like, oh, look, bear cubs. It's like someone's filming from a distance like, don't do that. And they're bear. And the bear's like,
I'm a firm believer. Just take all the warning signs down off of everything and just let everyone figure it out.
Let the population settle itself.
Yeah, because problems like that will take care of themselves.
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
Yeah.
Don't get it. All right. Well,
speaking of fly fishing, I do want to make one quick plug.
Yeah,
my next BHA pint night.
Yeah.
Coming up.
Oh, when is that?
It's May 2nd. So that's like...
That's the same night I sent you the
Derby.
Cumberland how-to thing.
I got some competition.
Orvis has a how to fish the Cumberland River session that they're doing that night.
Well,
at like 6:30, I think.
That's fine. Mine is for everybody, even if you're not a fly fisher. But we're partnering up with Derby City Fly Fishers for this one, which they're more geared towards like teaching people how to fly fish.
That's weird. I thought Derby City. I guess Orvis is just putting that one on.
Yeah, I don't think. I mean, there might be somebody with Derby City doing it.
I mean, Derby City's involved in everything going on in this area as far as fly fishing is concerned. But I would say kind of like their mission, so to speak, is to just teach and educate people on how to fly fish. So they'll be there. It'll be at Third Turn Oldham Gardens. I keep always wanting to say Oldham Acres, but that's not right. Oldham Gardens.
Are they bringing rods?
They're bringing a handful of rods. They're going to give kind of a, you know, quick little speech just about who they are and what they're doing. And then for the next however long people want to, it'll just be getting to actually you know, practice casting and ask questions and stuff like that. And we'll be at Third Turn, so great beer also. And it's BHA, so great group of guys. If you're interested in public lands and public waters, wild places, just like-minded people, come on out, hang on out, have a good time.
I mean, anybody that's in the Cincinnati area, that's the you're not coming all the way into Louisville to go to that. So hopefully you get some draw.
Yeah, I'm hoping it's a good little turnout, and that'll be my May event. And working on June right now. June should be a good one, but
cool.
I don't have enough info yet to start disclosing stuff.
Well, let's tidy things up. Shut her down. Make sure you log this episode on Go Wild. Tag Dan Hood, Derek Tolles, Jacob Knight. Let us know if you got any fishing tips for these boys before they go. Well, y'all are going to be...
By the time this comes out, we'll be back.
Never mind.
But check out that fishing sale before we pull it down.
Yeah.
It's its own category on Go Wild. ShopGoWild.com.
May 2nd, come on out to Third Turn, Oldham Gardens.
And then in August, come on out to TAC.
Yeah, check out TAC for sure. I think that'll be a good event for everybody.
Yeah.
Anybody within a few hours, it's worth the journey.
TAC is Total Archery Challenge. I don't think we said that out loud. But if you Google Total Archery Challenge, you'll find their website.
See y'all.
See you.